Welcome back to another episode of NBA at the Bar with your host, T.A. and G-Money, bringing you all the highlights, talking mess, and all the plays you shouldn't have missed.
What's up, everybody? This is NBA at the Bar, and we're your host. I'm T.A.
And I'm Uncle Chuckus.
Uncle Chuckus in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
As we know, our man G-Money has sent over and had to leave us due to his corporate obligations. He can't be with us anymore. So I found a new host, a man that I'm super fired up to be with us, Mr. Uncle Chuckus, but I call him Big Chuck. Chuck's in the house. What's up, man?
Hey, man, I'm just glad to be here on the podcast, man, to bring that big energy for the rest of the season, for the rest of the year. Let's do it.
Let's do it. And so with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I need you to do me a quick favor. I need you to like, download, and subscribe for us. Again, like, download, and subscribe. Take care of us because you know we take care of you. And we are here to talk some NBA action because you know it's fantastic. But also, you know what I really love about having Big Chuck here is we both drink that cognac.
Yes,
no more whiskey, bourbon, mix and all that.
No, no.
You know, I love my man G Money, but hey, we all on that yak. And so
yes,
we're over here drinking on that Claude Chantelier. Both of us is yacked up and we're going to sit over here and chop up this NBA action. So, man. A big thing happened this week. You know, you got to come on to the show.
Talk to
after
me.
After something big has happened this week. And, you know, I don't know about you. You know, we grew up in the era of Jordan and Kobe. So I know a lot of, you know, our people sit over here and be loving Jordan and Kobe. But I can tell you this. Is the game evolves. Like everything in life, there's an evolutionary stage. And we had the opportunity to not just see those two greats, but to also bear witness to LeBron James. 21 years into the game, 40,000 plus points.
40.
Man. So, what's your thoughts on LeBron getting the 40,000 points?
Well, first and foremost, you feel like that speaks to his longevity in the game. Like, you know, it's like to compare him to a great MC. Who's been able to make it through the years. I evolve, I change with the game, but yet I'm still one of the best to ever do it still, no matter where we're at. I think that's saying a lot about LeBron.
Love that.
I'm not even a LeBron fan necessarily, but you got to tip your hat. You can't take that away. I mean, you don't see it. I can't see it in the near future where I see anybody's able to do it like that. The man's dropped 25, 7, and 7, getting out the bed for, what, 20 years
for
now?
For 2 decades.
Come on now. No slowing down.
You know, I've seen some of these crazy stats on terms of for anybody to ever be able to replicate it. And it's like cats would have to average 37 points for 70 games a year for 16 years.
Right.
To even, you know, like these crazy that we know nobody will ever be able to do. Not, it wasn't just his longevity, but it was his ability to play at a very high level consistently. Doesn't matter which team or which ensemble of a team that he had around him. And also, knock on wood, his ability to avoid major injuries. So it was never any, you know, he's had an injury here with us here in the, with the Lakers, but hasn't really had a major injury that or several that has catastrophically messed up, you know, years for him.
Right.
That he's been able to sit over here and do this. And I can remember us being young, and I'm sure you can remember this. Do you remember when Kareem on his final season and they had the
rocking chair for him? Yes, sir.
And he went through that, you know, I remember saying like, damn, how the hell did he play that long at such a high level? But we see LeBron not just playing just as long, but playing at a consistently high level for long. Nobody's done that. So, you know, really what we got to look at now that he's, you know, he's the highest scorer in NBA history, you know, coming in this game at 18 years old, you know, still Similac on his breath and crushing it, getting all the way to this point. What do we really think his legacy is going to be long term?
Long term, I mean, I think everything is in the script that he's written as far as his play is concerned. I mean, he's been to multiple championships. He's, it's like, what else do you do? I mean, he's been MVP. He's been a great teammate. He's a great man, great father. I mean, what more do you want?
What more can you ask from a superstar?
For real. I mean, he checks off all the boxes. I mean, if you want to nitpick, you can say things, but it's like, come on, man, nobody's going to be 100%. You know, you're lucky if you get 70. Right. I think with LeBron, you're probably getting about 85, 90. Mm-hmm. Like he is that dude. Mm-hmm. And that's undisputable. You can't argue it. The stats agree. You know, and like I said, everything else matches up. When it all adds up, I mean, what can you say? LeBron's the dude.
You know, a lot of people like to hold against him, especially when you're comparing him to Jordan, because Jordan stood over and went 6-for-6 in the championships. But people act like Jordan was just in the league for, you know, for 7 years, the three, you know, before baseball, the three after,
right,
and then the year or two that he spent with the Wizards. But people forget how hard it was for him pre-Pippen, pre the championships, and when he was over here getting crushed by Larry Bird, right, getting crushed by Isaiah Thomas, and then with the Detroit Pistons. LeBron's unique history is that he's been able to do it with three different teams. Nobody's ever won a championship with three different teams. And I think that is something that we have to respect. You got to remember that he was dragging teams to the championship that had no absolute business whatsoever being in any type of world championship for anything. But he was dragging these teams, and that gets held against him. Do you think that's a blemish on his record, you know, those championships that he didn't win?
I think you can't even come close to making that argument. I think it would be unfair. One, to drag a team to the championship says a whole lot. I seen LeBron take Booby Gibson, Mo Williams, you know, Ilgauskas. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on now. Barajal. I'm not trying to sign none of them dudes. You know, if I have other choices, I can name a lot of people who I feel like deserve the nod before them dudes.
Without a doubt.
And he took him to the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And he beat good teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Detroit team defensively was no joke. LeBron ran through him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He ran through a lot of good teams, and he kept going, no matter where it was. The road to the championship coming out the East led, it came through LeBron damn near every year. It's undisputable. That's crazy to say, you know, you go to 5-6 championships in a row. So that's good work.
You know, the one thing I try to warn people of, especially people, you know, in our age, in our mid-40s, that had the opportunity to see Jordan in person or at least playing, you know, and not looking at old clips, but actually got to see him on a nightly basis, got a chance to see Kobe on a nightly basis, is we saw those careers come to an end. And when it's an end, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
No more. You don't see him anymore. And I was a person that sat over here and was a hater to Jordan back in the day. You know, it was like Jordan selfish and hot dogging, and, you know, everybody loves Jordan, so I'm going to be a hater. And it wasn't until he retired and I could no longer see him, and then I'd have to go back and look at the highlights, mm-hmm, to appreciate, mm-hmm, who he was, what he brought to the game, how skilled he was, how special he was. And I just implore upon people out there, don't take this man for you know, just like, don't sit over and act like it's not important.
Right.
What we're witnessing is greatness. And you only get greatness, you know, every so often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like, you know, there's just a plethora of greatness out there when on this level, on the Jordan level.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have an opportunity to be able to bear witness, I would encourage people to sit over and slow down, appreciate what we're watching, because when it's gone, in the next 2 to 3 years, it's going to be gone, and we will never be able to witness it again. And you know, it's going to be interesting to see, like, does he get a statue?
Come on now.
You know, it's funny. Well, you know, here in L.A., a lot of people are saying, no, he doesn't. But how do you not have a statue? You got a statue of Jordan. You got a statue of Kobe. How do you not have a statue of LeBron in terms of what he's meant to the game of basketball overall?
Right.
How is he not immortalized someplace forever?
So I'm gonna bring up something. And as you was mentioning those statues, you got Oscar De La Hoya out there too. You know.
But, hey,
but think about, I think basketball is, people never really appreciate the player when he's playing the game. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I think in order to become a legend, you have to stop playing.
Mm-hmm.
And then people start to really think about, dude, we're not going to really see this again.
Right.
Nobody really appreciates things when it's right smack dab in front of your face. So, mm-hmm, as you say what you say, you make bring up, you know, a great point. Is that, hey, you know, you need to appreciate this while it's happening. I remember people said that when Kobe was about to retire. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to really appreciate this. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like Kobe became even bigger,
when
you know, passed. After basketball.
After even basketball, after, but period. When he passed, it was just like,
yeah, it
oh
was like,
God.
Damn, like, Kobe was this, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And, like, you know, people learn to appreciate, like, this man won awards, you know, for making films after basketball. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
You know, and it wasn't, like, a long time. It was, like, right after
right
basketball.
After,
you could yeah. tell he had things going, you know, mm-hmm. in the works. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when he saw the end of his career coming.
Yeah.
So, again, a legend. A legend is never appreciated while they're actually playing. Like, right. a legend becomes a legend. Because you're a myth now. Like, it's like,
right.
do you remember? Have you ever seen this game where LeBron went for 40, you know, had 20 assists and 20 rebounds?
Right.
Wilt scored 100. Yeah, you talk about it now because mm-hmm. he's a legend. Like, these are all things that are kind of like, it's a myth, but it happened. It actually happened. So when I talk about, you know, talk to my son about what I saw Magic do or, you know, mm-hmm. Jordan do, mm-hmm. you know, he's like, that didn't happen. And I got to go dig up YouTube clips. Like, you know, nah, this is not a myth. Like, this is a true story. Like, these are some bad people. So, nah, that's my take on it, man. I don't think he'll ever really be appreciated while he's actually playing. But when he walks away, people are going to
sit over here and look back and wish they didn't allow the minutiae or the narratives that media portrayed, you know, put on him. Because of the decision in Miami and all that. Because right. that's really when the hatred really started,
right.
is when he did that and forgot that they had an opportunity to bear witness
right.
to that specialness. But speaking of that specialness, we see the impact, and again, in this 20-something year playing in the NBA, we see that bleeding into this team with the Lakers currently. And, you know, they're playing well now. The past 20 games, they have a top five offense all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. The defense was already playing well. The problem was the offense. Mm-hmm. And we see them making moves. Mm-hmm. Now, they're not making as big a strides as we probably would like or Laker fans would probably like, because overall the West is playing very well. Mm-hmm. But we definitely see this team kind of coalescing and getting it done. Do you think this team, like last year, could make a run at a championship? Now, this team didn't get to the championship game, but they've got all the way to the conference final
right.
from the play-in tournament. Do you see this as a team that's comparable to last year's team that could possibly get to that conference championship and challenge whoever is there, whether it's Denver, whoever, to possibly get into the ship race?
Well, I think the big thing is the matchups.
It's all, yeah.
I think mm-hmm. last year was the perfect storm. Like, we got the perfect matchups that we needed. Like, you know, we play in Minnesota in the play-in game. Y'all not ready for this. Like, you know, I think the Lakers are a playoff team. Like, they play playoff basketball. Right. So to beat us in the 7-game series is going to be tough because, like I said, we're a playoff basketball team. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we're not a regular season team. I think they're just kind of waiting to kind of get over this and, you know, let's get
and get into the action. You know, but like you said, everything is all about matchups. And the one matchup that the Lakers don't want to have is Denver too early.
Right.
You know, for whatever reason, you're talking about 8 straight games, they haven't been able to beat Denver, not including the playoffs. This mm-hmm. is 8 regular season games they haven't been able to beat Denver. But for whatever reason, they can beat OKC.
Right.
You know, so, you know, matchups make fights.
They do.
And I believe this team on LeBron's back with AD playing out of his mind and the guards sitting over here and stepping up their game like they have been in the last, say, you know, 10 plus games, could possibly threaten that. But like you said, it all comes down to what will the matchups be to allow them to get there. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. The one thing I promise you is the Lakers probably don't want to see Minnesota this year.
Like I said, I personally feel like they're still a little young.
I do
feel like they're young. And they remind me of when, I don't remember if you remember, when Kobe played against OKC right when they was coming. So I think
when they was
like
young. Yeah.
But you knew they mm-hmm. were coming. Mm-hmm. But Kobe was like, nah, y'all still not ready.
That's baby. That's a phenomenal, phenomenal example of what Minnesota is now. Right. They were OKC. Now, this existing OKC team, I think, is probably, it's hard to say they was better than that team.
I don't think they're better.
But that's a phenomenal nucleus. You know what I'm saying? Yes. But like I said, it's hard to say that they were better, but I understand what you were saying. That's probably why the Lakers have had some success against this OKC team during the regular seasons, that they are young, mm-hmm. is that when it gets grimy, when it gets late in the game, when every basket counts and you can sit over here and rattle your right. opponent.
Like your young
the young punks, yeah, they not rattle. You know, my thought process is, and G and I used to talk a lot about that early on in the season, is Ant-Man. Might be that real one. Like this year is not, this year's this coming out party, but this year isn't like his greatness is showing. Right. Like it's this coming out party, like I can be great, mm-hmm. but I think next year, when we see Ant-Man next year, it's kind of like SGA's year last year.
Right.
SGA, this is SGA's year in MVP. Ant-Man's coming, bud.
He's a bad man.
Ant-Man's coming. Mm-hmm. But it all comes down to, like you said, what the matchups are going to be leading into or going into the playoffs, and how does all that shit fall. In the West, I don't care how great you've been played. Even with Denver, I don't care how great. I think Denver can get boo-bopped about the playoffs. You know, we got we got OKC number two, and then who do we got number one right now? And here's the twist is, if Minnesota was number three, I would feel better about them because they don't have the pressure of being the number one seed.
Right.
I think the pressure of being number one seed could have them getting bounced early. And then making cats sit over here and get real about life, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, and understand that they can get bounced early. Denver, everybody's picking Denver, and I just don't feel that Denver, because they tasted that sweetness of glory,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of dampens your urgency. That kind of dampens your grit level when you've had a chance to sit over here and do it. Now, talent could possibly elevate them to the deal. But I just don't know.
You don't know?
If that a Clipper team can't beat them, because you're talking about cats hungry. Paul George and them is hungry to sit over here.
Right.
But you know who's hungry? LeBron is hungry to get that one more championship Lakers. And when it comes down to mano y mano, everybody's playing well. Fucking the coach has gotten the team and the starting lineups mm-hmm. together. And that hey, this is my shot at sitting over here and getting there and getting another championship. It doesn't get yep. me to six, but it gets me to a whole lot of respectability. I don't know. This, you know, I think they have a shot. I think they have a shot.
I think they got a shot. Like I said, I just think, you know, we'll see how the matchups fall. Once we mm-hmm. see how the matchups fall, I can tell you all that. We guaranteed to at least make it to the Western Conference Finals just off the matchups alone. I think that Minnesota matchups is not one that I fear. I fear the Denver matchup because I think
mm-hmm.
the balance of mm-hmm. their team. You got Jokic, you know, you got, Gordon out there. You know, you got a great point guard, you know, you got KCP, wish we would have never let him go.
Mm.
You know, so Michael Porter Jr., he's mm-hmm, out there. So mm-hmm, I think mm-hmm. they just have a great balance. And when you go into playoffs, you got to have good balance. Right. You got to be able to play defense and offense. You mm-hmm. got to be able to match up, create mismatches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think everybody can do that. And I think that's when problems arise. Like, you know, for a team like New Orleans, I think you're a cool team, but I don't think you're a great playoff team. Period.
Right.
I don't think, you know, with Zion, and I like him, but I don't think you have a great balance to play offense and defense with these teams once, you know, it's time for playoff basketball. Playoff basketball just looks different.
New Orleans remind me of a team that's put together a recess when we was young. You right. know, like I a got good him. Team.
I got him. Who you got? I got, man, that, I mean, that's what yeah. it looks like. You know, you got the flash, you got, you know, you got some talent,
mm-hmm.
but it just, it's not balanced enough. So, mm-hmm. I think we got a good shot, you know, based off of that.
And still, you know, with about 20 games left, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And let's see where that momentum takes them. Because I ain't going to lie, I wouldn't mind seeing the Lakers because it's only five games. I don't even think it's even five games. It might be five games that separate them from being in their current position in ninth. Three games. I mean, God, I mean, you're talking about a hot week.
Right.
A good.
That's a bad week for somebody.
7 to 10 days, right. And then, boom, they're in the sixth place. So I would say let's not forget that that could take place. That could, we could revisit this in 4 weeks and be having a whole different, you know, story, a whole different segment on where this team currently is and what their true opportunity is to get to that championship. But then you gotta face the vaunted Celtics, and we'll talk about them in a little bit. But I want to ask you about this. You know, Wemby. Speaking of a great player,
that guy.
I think Wemby might be that next greatness that we're having to sit over here, or we're having the opportunity to sit over here and watch, kind of like Bambi when he was born and the legs was wobbly and saw how he got stronger and got acclimated to the game. And then he's over here, you know, bucking and running them up.
Right.
I remember seeing Wemby in his first couple of games and, you know, I was excited about him then, but he looked, you know, especially like in summer league, he was sitting over there, the limbs, like he wasn't quite ready. But man, he's acclimated to the league so quickly. I like what they've done in San Antonio in terms of not overburdening him, not having him play 40 minutes a game, allowing him to slowly but surely get ingratiated to the league without over putting too much on his plate. Yeah,
they're not overwhelming at all.
No, without a doubt. There's no overwhelming, but when you see so much improvement, so much growth, and what happens with not overwhelming him is it allows his confidence to build. So you can overwhelm him, and then it's too much on his plate, the confidence goes down.
And it happens.
But it happens all the time. You know, but the greats, it doesn't happen to. Right. LeBron was playing 40 minutes a game in his first year. Wait, this dude is playing 28 minutes a game. And so allowing Wemby to grow into himself, and we're able to watch it right before our eyes, I would sit over here, just like I encourage people to sit over here and appreciate LeBron at the tail end of his career. I also would encourage people to sit over here and don't sit over here and just say, you know, with Wemby.
Appreciate
what we're watching because I think he's up next. The journey of it, I think he's up next. And so when we have an opportunity to watch Wemby grow, the big question is I think Wemby is locked up Rookie of the Year. Chet put up a great fight as the first half, but Wemby is ascended where Chet was playing at his highest level. But Wemby's has ascended and kind of eclipsed, especially in that last game when they had the head up and Wemby gave him the business, that block, you know what I'm saying, at the end of the game. But this is how we'll be able to really see and check for his greatness. Can Wemby win defensive player of the year as a rookie and win rookie of the year? That will set the stage for him being, you know, that next.
Yeah, that next dude.
And he's already that next, but this kind of like
that catapults. Right.
Do you think he can do that?
You know, if the voters are just unbiased and you just look at the play, but I don't think that normally happens because I think they always look at your team, what your team did, and they hold that against you. As far as those
for rookie of the year, not for
rookie of the year. I don't think rookie of the year it ever matters to me. But I think defensive player of the year, I think that's an award where your team has to, you know, like Ben Wallace, like players like that, you win it because your team is actually winning. Kimpembe Mutombo, like he was never on a garbage team. Like he was all his teams always won. So they're
competitive at least.
Exactly. Kawhi, you know, whatever, whoever it may be. So it's tough to say in my eyes that he's probably gonna win defensive player of the year, though the stats say a lot about that young man and what he can do.
Now, we got the Frenchman that's sitting over here, again, playing on a team that's number one in its conference, that's leading the way. But the stats that Wemby is putting up,
crazy.
The fight and the grit of I'm going to play good defense in an era and in a time where people have put defense on the back burner. It's funny.
I love
what's
his activity.
What's NBA going to do? I love his activity.
He's active. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of Vooty. I've never really been a fan of Vooty.
No, nobody is. Nobody in all of America is a fan of Vooty.
It's not even that I don't appreciate a defensive player, because I appreciated Ben Wallace. I was like, dude, you're a grown man.
Right.
At, 6'9 out here making it happen. But looking at him, I'm just like, nah, man, you just don't do it for me necessarily. Like, if you wasn't tall, like, your ability doesn't say a whole lot about me, but your height is. You, I mean, you're tall, you're long.
And he's hard. He's a hard worker, and so I do feel with Rudy Gobert is that if there is any enduring quality about him, is that he's a hard worker.
Okay,
and that he's not an individual that wants to go beyond where he can go. He knows where his bread is buttered.
He stays in that.
So I can respect any person that understands their lane. But he's obviously limited. Mm-hmm. And then when you talk about the offensive output, the shit that Wemby does on offense, while again also defensively being a dominating factor. Now, 7'4" matters.
Right.
7'4", 7'5" matters.
He has bounce.
Right. And so, that helps him and allows him to be the formidable defensive player that he is. But when you hear the gaudy numbers of the amount of blocks this dude's like 170 blocks.
Right.
Like, what? I didn't even know, Ketch, you can even get blocks like that. Like, that's a crazy, crazy number.
It is. He leads the league in total steals and blocks. So if you add the steals and blocks together, he leads the league in the total, which as a rookie, I feel like that says a lot. We're talking about steals and blocks, not rebounds.
But steals, you tell me, when did Manute Bol lead the league in steals?
Like,
when did you get steals? Like, that's a crazy step in itself.
Right. That's the whole reason why I brought it up, because it says the level is at his activity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that man is active out there. Not only is he active, but he's smart. Mm-hmm. He's instinctive, and he's only going to get better. And trust and believe, the league ain't going to want to see that dude in like another 4 or 5 years. It's going to be a problem.
Where could Wemby be when he's, you got to remember, Wemby's young. He's like, I don't even think he's 21. Yeah, 19, he's not even 20.
19, 20.
So where will this dude be when he's 4 years in the league and he's gone through what, we're talking about 400 games.
Right.
And put on grown man, right. What the fuck is, who's going to be able to deal with this dude?
7'4".
Man, and let me tell you something. This is his first year in the league. He will understand what he needs to do because he's conscious like that. Mm-hmm. He's not resting on his laurels. He's not resting on his God-given gifts of height and length and so on and so forth. This dude want to work.
Right.
What will he be at working NBA work 4 years from now? I mean, it's absolutely scary. When this dude gets too scary is when LeBron's like, you know what? I'm done.
Said,
have a nice day. Pass it to him.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and pass it to him, huh?
Without a doubt. So super excited. I would hope that the league is smart enough to understand people don't give a fuck about
Gobert.
Don't give a fuck about Gobert. Mm-hmm. They can sit over here and literally kind of truly prop and position this dude to sit over here and win both, and then but that ascension is from a different perspective. It's not based off of scoring.
And
so that's a whole unique story in itself that is not based, even though he's scoring a shitload of points,
it's
not, his greatness isn't based off of scoring. So you can bring that defense back, into the game and its importance and all that. And that kind of changes. We don't want to change the trajectory because the scoring is what kind of exploded the NBA and its popularity around the world. But at the same time, reinforce and emphasize the importance of defense.
It matters.
Did you hear what Gilbert Arenas said on one of the podcasts? Talk about getting rid of all the European players. That defense sit over here and and found its way outside of the NBA, and the NBA isn't what it is anymore because of the European players, because they're never taught to play defense. You know, you learn defense in college. Well, right. These Europeans don't go to college because they're coming from Europe. So they're playing pro at a young age and then coming over here and transitioning over here. So they never learn how to actually play fundamental. And they talk about how fundamentally great they are, but they never learned fundamental defense. And that the game actually got softer because the European players that they tried to inject into the NBA couldn't maintain, couldn't compete, couldn't stay because the defense and the game was too aggressive for them, and they're too soft. So the NBA began watering down the rules to allow European players to thrive, because offensively, yeah, they can do some unbelievable things, but defensively, when the game was overly aggressive, they wilted.
You know what? The thing about it for me is I feel like the NBA was already on that
trajectory.
Yeah, they were already on that trajectory. You know, having games where people score 90 points, 95 to 85. David Stern wasn't having that shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, no disrespect intended, but he wasn't. So therefore, we're going to take away the hand check. We're going to make the lane bigger. We're going to have, you know, illegal defense. Like, we're bringing up all kind of things that you just can't do.
Right.
Because we need this scoring up. Right. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't gonna lie, watching people score 146 points, you know, and I'm like, man, this is crazy. Like, this, ole. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I see it a lot. And it's even funnier coming from somebody like Gilbert, because Gilbert didn't play no defense. Gilbert wasn't even thinking about
it. So funny.
No defense.
That, when he said that, that's the first thing that came to mind. This nigga didn't play no defense.
No, never even thought about it at all. And that was probably one of the reasons why his teams wasn't winning, because he wasn't playing. Everybody else is,
right.
But you're not.
Right.
You know? But, you know, hey, it happens. But I think, you know, like I said, the trajectory was already going that direction. And I think at some point they was like, oh, okay, we're going to accelerate this a little bit more, you know, bring in the international, because at the end of the day, it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to bring in money and revenue.
And a worldwide business is greater than a continental business,
yeah,
without a doubt.
We're trying to touch as many lives as we can. Yeah. We're trying to dig in many pockets as we can. Mm-hmm. So I think as the NBA made it an international thing and focused on the international thing, of course we're going to try to accommodate other people. I wouldn't be shocked to see gold tendon change at some point, because that's what they do internationally. Like, I can see it changing.
What do they do internationally with gold?
You can slap the ball off the rim once it hits the rim.
Oh, okay.
You know, over the cylinder, basket interference, there's no such thing in, you know, Olympic play or international play. That's not what they do.
Okay, I didn't
know that. I think, you know, what you're saying is absolutely the truth as far as trying to cater to a worldwide audience and get that worldwide bread.
Right.
I don't have a problem doing it. You know what I'm saying? That's what it looks like to me as far as Adam Silverman's concerned right now.
Right.
Like, we're trying to cater to everybody. So if we got to change the rules to do so,
let's change it.
So be it. You know, get that money.
Hey, I don't know if it's just me, but after seeing the Warriors almost get a 50-piece hung up on them, I don't, you know, by the Celtics, I don't know what rule needs to get changed to where we don't see Steph Curry sit over here and get stomped out like how he did. And I mean, you talking about they was up as many as 56 points in a half.
Yeah, it was early.
That's insane. Like, but so that's what's so crazy about the 3-point game is when you be cold.
Ooh.
It'd be vicious. Oh, it's hard on you.
You can get down early.
And the Celtics just look so dominant, look so strong right now. But it was jarring to see Steph, who was, again, a legend in the game.
Right.
Person who's changed the game for the better, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
To watch a team led by him, who he's still playing at a high level. But, you know, is it indicative of the difference between where the Celtics are and where Golden State is? Or is it indicative of how great the Celtics are? You know, like, is it because Golden State is actually boo-boo? Mm-hmm. Why that happened? Mm-hmm. Or is it that the Celtics are that special, that playing at such a high level, like that team, that ensemble team is so special that they're going to sit over here and crush it, because they're 7 games up.
Right.
Of the next closest team in all the NBA.
Right.
I mean, this team is playing lights out.
I think the Celtics are that team that I'm talking about. Like, as far as playoff basketball, like, they're complete. Right. You know, you have a great point guard in Drew. You got Tatum. Complete. You got Brown. You know, you got veterans. Mm-hmm. You got bench players.
And Porzingis. That's
not, and then you brought in Porzingis.
Porzingis, I think it was that linchpin. Right. That was like, yeah. Have a nice day. These cats ain't fucking around. They're right. Playing at the they already have players that play at a high level, but I think Porzingis was that linchpin that makes him almost untouchable.
True. You figure last year they were playing with Robert Williams. So, I mean, mm-hmm. Switch him out for Porzingis as far as playoff basketball.
Right. Day, right, know? Right, right.
We can go post-game now.
Right.
Now we can do things that we couldn't do last year.
Mm-hmm.
Who can throw the ball into the post? We couldn't do that. This mm-hmm. dude, he didn't have no offensive game. He was a defender.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy Gobert, you know?
Right, right, right.
And that's
right.
The thing that I don't, you know, like about centers like that. If you don't have anything to contribute on the offensive end, then it's that balance that we need. We mm-hmm. need that. We mm-hmm. need – teams can't sag off you or just disrespect you.
Right.
I watch teams leave Rudy Gobert and just be like, we're not even –
right.
We're just going to double-team whoever we need
and
to.
And that could, be their Achilles heel.
It was mm-hmm. last year. And it was, that's what the Lakers did.
Right.
We were like, okay, we're just not going to play you at all. AD, you just roam now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And they had to pull him out the game at
mm-hmm.
some point.
Mm-hmm.
So now you don't have any protection at the rim, and it changes the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is the same situation the Celtics were in before.
Right.
Now you have Porzingis. Now it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We can give him the ball in the post, or we can kick it out to him, and he's buttons.
And he's still going to hit.
And you know what? He's not even our first option or our second option or our third option maybe on some nights. You know, we can go to him when we need him, and I guarantee he's going to be there. It makes them a little scary for me in the West. I mean, in the East, I'm sorry.
Right. And when you have a team like that, you know, either they're going to have to come in ill-prepared, they're going to have to come in on the right game of a series to say, we just don't feel it today.
Right.
Or somebody's going to have to be hurt before anybody in the league at this point. Except the Clippers. I think the Clippers is a team that's put together that could actually be a formidable opponent. And I think when we come back to this in June, I might be sitting over here looking like a Negro Domus.
Because
I think that is the only team. Because there's so many great players, that team is similarly well-rounded
mm-hmm.
and can collectively play well. I think that could be the team that could actually play with the Celtics. And again, if any of those things take place that I just mentioned in terms of cats just not feeling it that day, where you could sneak a game or two in a series and fuck around and win.
Mm.
But if you're not able to sneak a game or two away from them, but you might as well pack it up and hey, get ready for a vacation.
But the thing is, you got to go to their house.
Right.
Odds are, that's a problem.
It's a problem.
Don't nobody really want to play in
Boston. Nobody wants to play in Boston. Yeah, Boston's a hard place to play in.
Historically, it's a problem.
Historically, since the 50s, exactly. It's been difficult to play in.
It's always been a problem for one reason or another, you know, whether or not we were transitioning from, you know, the racist stuff.
And, mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, to, you know, we just don't like you just because you're not a Celtic. Period. It's always been a problem to play in Boston. And I always listen to them stories where Magic and Worthy mm-hmm. and them talk about it like, dude.
And the flight ain't easy. It's kind of like they talk about flying from Seattle to, like, Florida. Like, how brutal of a flight that is. Well, Boston's just the opposite mm-hmm. end of the country. Mm-hmm. But say, and that flight is just as brutal. Like, mm-hmm. this ain't like you may be playing Minnesota. Yeah, or not Minnesota, Milwaukee. You know what I'm saying? It's like midway through.
Right, right.
Right, no, this is a whole, it's two, more, it's two and a half hour, more hours from there.
Right. Yep, all the way.
And so that's what the deal is. But, you know, we know the Celtics are dominating the league. They're for damn sure dominating the East. But there are some teams that are sitting over here making power moves, mm-hmm. you know, and one of the teams that they pop in and out is Orlando. Orlando, in the early part of the year, the team was all together and they were looking fucking phenomenal. It was exactly. like, this is a team that's going to be wrecking. Well, they're learning how to win this year,
right.
but next year you're going to have to watch out for them. And then they had some injuries. Mm-hmm. Team sunk. They didn't play with consistency. They sit over here and they won some games. They lost some games. But they were like, they were no longer a force. And then now everybody done got healthy again. You see them sitting over
right,
there.
Right, right, yep.
Hey, Orlando, write it down and take a picture. This is the Timberwolves from 2023, you know, 2022-23 year. This is the Timberwolves right. of this year.
I was going to say that.
Watch out for this team next year. But this team is sitting over here. They're rough and rugged. They want to win. They mm-hmm. got a young one out of the draft that has no fear. That's about that life. Mm-hmm. That wants to win. If they make one more good pick in the draft this year, boy, and then maybe make one free agency like pickup,
right?
Man, you can't do nothing with this team. Like this team is rough and rugged.
They coming. You know, they've been patient. They've had to overhaul the roster to get you know to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a great draft pick. You know, the guy they got
Bandera from Duke, right?
Yes. Oh, nice.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't like him at Duke. I mean, he was like, but he has a certain grit about him. That's like, I'm about this life, mm-hmm. and you're going to have to put me down to stop me from elevating, stop me from succeeding.
Yep.
And I want the smoke. I want the action, and you're going to have to show me.
Right.
And it's very interesting, you know, to watch this team and how their resurgence at the right time of the year to sit over and position themselves not to win it, because they're not going to win it.
Right.
But to gain the experience needed to win it in a few years from now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Celtics can only keep this team together for so long.
True.
So, you know, I think this is a team that as soon as the Celtics fall, Orlando could rise and be that next big team. Remember, I'm telling you this now mm-hmm. because I'm going to sit over here and remind you. I expect you to. This is a team that is coming in the future, not next year, not this year, but in a couple years, man.
You think so?
Man, because they got a nice nucleus and they play hard.
True.
They play with reckless abandon. They play aggressively. And again, they're not in the top three. Now, we'll see how these next 20 games go.
It could change
a lot. But they're in the top six. And again, all they don't need to be in the top three. All they need to do is gain some playoff experience now.
Absolutely.
And that's going to bode so well for them moving forward. So, you know, I'm excited about Orlando. I can't wait to see how this team continues to grow, how they continue to put together a quote-unquote championship team to allow them to compete. Against the best players. Well, guess what? You got New York coming. You know, New York, hey, I don't know who the owner got for their front office. I mean, you know, like, I don't know these cats like that.
Uh-huh.
But these cats are out here putting in work. They putting together a nice squad.
They've done a solid job.
They've done a phenomenal job, yeah. And guess what? The reality is Milwaukee has finally figured this shit out after Doc had to be on like, you know, we know, like, we're going to find this cat right. hanging in the room.
Right,
like,
right. Like, y'all fired this dude.
There's a lot of pressure mm-hmm. on him and how they started off. And then to sit over here and watch Doc not throwing up his hands. Sitting over here and saying, you know what, we're going to grind this out. We're going to figure this out. We're going to grind this out. And now you look up, and they're almost back to the defensive level they were at prior to
Adrian Griffin.
Mm-hmm. They're almost back, if not back to that level. And the team is winning because of that. Right. And they are now back to the number two slot on the East. I don't think they're quite that. I think they're one player away from really being able to fuck with the Celtics. Mm-hmm. But when you look at this team, when you have a Lillard and you have a Giannis, mm-hmm. man, those are two bad man pajamas, man. And the one thing about this team is if they are playing at their peak and their opponent got the flu, you know, the Celtics better not fuck around. You know what I'm saying? Because they can fuck around and lose to this team because their core is special.
Very special.
And you have Doc that everybody talks about how he be choking and whoop de whoop. And you know what? We'll see if he does. But I can't knock what we've seen happen. This dude took over a very... I don't think they should have gotten rid of Adrian Griffin, in my opinion.
It wasn't the reason.
I don't think that was good business. I don't think that was smart business.
I think that was something else. I think it was something else.
Well, what it is when you make a move to get Lillard, the challenge is that's a win now.
Right.
And when you have a brand new coach, they're still learning how to be that individual. And then so you have win now moves mm-hmm. and personnel, mm-hmm. but stupidly brought in a new coach that needs to go through his own growing pains. And the team wasn't willing to go through the growing pains because they knew what adding Lillard meant. Yeah. You follow what I'm saying?
Championship.
And so just supposed to mean championships.
Exactly.
And so I think the team panicked.
I do too.
And it, what's crazy is how do you panic being number two? It's like that's a different level of panic. I think they was tired of hearing the gripes of their star players.
I think that's what
it
was.
Giannis holds a lot of power in that organization, be it that they keep his brother who's a stone cold.
Oh, he's got a contract. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that was a panic move and it almost was disastrous. And I have to give credit to Doc Rivers for understanding this is a long season, mm-hmm. understanding what 40 plus more games means, and we can absorb some losses
to learn
mm-hmm. and figure out and allow me to bring to the squad what you felt was missing from the previous coach.
You need an identity.
And it almost felt like they was almost about to jump ship and it was about to be a mutiny. And luckily, things began to turn mm-hmm. just in time. And they got to a point to where they are where they are now. Now, again, this is another interesting team. Let's see where they're at 20 games from now. Again, they're not going to sit over and make a surge and eclipse the Celtics. But let's see where they're at in terms of how they're playing. You know, that has to be the gauge. It can't be the standings.
True.
Because you're not going to surpass the Celtics. It has to just be how are they playing at mm-hmm. this stage to sit over here and determine where they're at.
Right.
Going into the playoffs. And can they give the Celtics a run for their money? Can they sit over and put themselves in a position that somebody got the flu, somebody got a sprained ankle, or the Celtics coach, who's newer.
Exactly. That's a great point.
Is being out-coached by Doc Rivers.
Right. That's a great point.
You know, that could be it, and God forbid that happened. Hey, Boston is going to fuck around and burn.
Because you kicked old boy out. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not mad. I mean, I could understand from the optics. Now, personally, would I have done it?
No. And I don't think they should have.
Not for that.
I think that was stupid.
Not for that. I think it was petty. I think it was mm-hmm. petty, and I think you were trying to save face, and you mm-hmm. moved haste.
Right.
You shouldn't have. You should have took your time. He ain't the first coach
to sit over and ran through
Come
somebody.
Come on now. At the workplace,
right.
You talking about that doesn't happen?
Right.
You'd be a fool to believe that doesn't happen consistently. Okay, it got out. okay, what's the worst thing that could happen? Mm-hmm. A couple of people are mad. These are consenting adults. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we talking about here? Nah, I wouldn't have done that quick.
Right.
So you bring in a young coach. You know, were there other options out there? Possibly. But you wanted to bring in somebody. You wanted to keep the cohesiveness of the team, mm-hmm. so you chose to go with it from within. Mm-hmm. I can respect that.
I can respect it. And I don't think he's a bad coach.
No, I don't think he's a bad coach, but he's inexperienced. And I think in playoff basketball, it's devastating.
Well, it was exposed last year. That's why they didn't get there.
My whole point, it can be devastating.
And
it can be devastating mm-hmm. when you have a rookie or a young coach mm-hmm. who's not used to having an understanding of these pressure moves, these pressure timeouts, these pressure adjustments. If mm-hmm. he just hasn't had the opportunity to be able to do that
right.
on a consistent level mm-hmm. to compete with a Doc Rivers per se, or mm-hmm. you know, whatever these veteran coaches are, mm-hmm. it's tough. It's mm-hmm. tough. So, and you got to manage these personalities,
right?
With the Tatums and the Browns, and you know,
it's not easy.
It's not. That's
especially when you add Porzingis. It's not easy. But I will say, it appears that he's wrangled this team in a correct fashion.
Like you said, we'll see come June.
The playoffs always when there's a timer on your shit, mm-hmm. not like you just infinite games to just play and we just playing. When it's seven,
yeah.
or get the fuck out of here,
we gonna see how that booty holds up.
Yeah. And if you get tight like that, then we gonna sit over and see.
It happens.
That's when his mettle will be tested. And that's when the belief of his team in him will be tested.
I agree. And
we'll see if he is the one,
right.
he is the leader to lead this phenomenal team. Now, let me tell you something. If he can't lead this team, who's played this well in the regular season, to at least the series, the chip series, man, there's going to be significant questions.
It's tough. Everybody's not Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley,
he reminds me of Eric Spoelstra, and
I feel like all that is aligning. But we never know until you get put in that position. And what we seen the first year is it didn't work.
Right.
It didn't. But again, give him some opportunities mm-hmm. and see what he's gonna do. I think you know. He can make some adjustments. I think you got to give him at least two. You got to give everybody 2-3 years.
I think three years is the max.
Like you were saying, as far as the team in itself and how long you can keep this team together, because everybody in that team is making
correct.
Money.
Correct.
And you got to sign Tatum now.
Correct.
And you know he's not taking.
He's not taking less. So this is really the year. This is the year they got to put a banner up. Mm-hmm. If they don't, because of the signings that they have to do in the next
right.
two.
Right.
If he doesn't put it up this year, he might not fuck around and survive. I think he can. And I think he may survive one more year. But after that, but they got to win a title in the next 2 years or have a nice day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's how it'll be. And guess what? That's why you get paid millions of dollars. And yeah. Y'all can pay me. Y'all can pay me. And, you know, I'm sure my family wouldn't mind me dealing with all that pressure mm-hmm. for them millions of dollars.
Oh, so absolutely.
I don't feel too bad for them.
I don't. I tell my wife all the time, that's why you get paid the big bucks.
That's why you get paid
the big bucks. It's that pressure. You're going to deal with it, and I expect you to make a good decision. That's the reason why I hired you in this position. Make it happen. You know what I'm saying?
Make it happen, Captain.
Exactly.
That's what I tell my wife. Make it happen, Captain. Hey, so with that being said, hey, this is a great show. We are getting to crunch time. We're talking about 20 games left. You're talking about we're a month out. We're getting into crunch time. It's show time. And we're getting into the real crux of the season.
Meat and taters.
So the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks are going to be exciting as we head into the playoffs, and then we're into the playoffs. So you actually came in at the perfect time of the season.
Yes.
You missed all the leading. You missed you missed the in-season tournament, which was fun.
Oh, okay.
That was fun with us out there. But you were really coming in at the very most perfect time of the NBA season.
Yes, sir.
As we get into that final drive to get to the playoffs, and then the playoffs, and then the championship. So, I'm so excited and fired up to have you here. I look forward to us being able to commentate and to be able to add perspective to what's going on in this NBA season. And so with that being said, man, welcome aboard.
Yes.
Cheers. Church on the Moon. Cheers.
Appreciate you.
Uncle Chucka.
We here. We here.
I need you guys to like, download, and subscribe. ATB Media Network is in the house, baby.
Yes, sir.
NBA action is fantastic.
Come back for more.